بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our second session reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 2, Dr. Fa Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today, inshallah, we're going to be previewing the second lesson from the Medina Book 2. But before we do that, inshallah, we're going to have a quick review of, any summary review of what we covered in the previous session from lesson number 1. So, from lesson number 1 last week, we covered 6 points. The first point being the most important of them, that is the particle inna, the rules related to inna wa akhawatuha. And this, the rules related to inna were divided into several points. And I think you can probably list them as 7 different points related to inna. Okay, so this lesson contains 6 grammatical points. Inna is the first of them, and we are dividing inna into several subsidiary points. And then we'll look at the remaining grammatical points quickly from lesson number 1. As far as inna, the first point we want to note about inna is that it is a particle that's used at the beginning of a nominal sentence. It's a particle. It's only used with the jumla ismiya. It is known in Arabic as harf tawqid wa nasb, yani the particle that is for tawqid, for emphasis, and for nasb because it makes yani the mubtada, which is then known as ism inna, it makes it mansub. That's why it's called yani harf tawqid wa nasb. Tawqid yani because it emphasizes the meaning of the sentence, and nasb because it makes one of the parts of this sentence yani the what was originally the mubtada makes it mansub. Okay, so the first point is that inna is a particle that's used at the beginning of a nominal sentence. Point number 2. The second point is that the noun that follows inna, yani the ismu inna, which was originally the mubtada, the ismu inna is mansub, that is in the accusative case. So, after the introduction of inna, the mubtada is no longer called mubtada, but is instead called ismu inna, and the khabar is called khabaru inna. This is the third point, that after the introduction of inna to the nominal sentence, the mubtada and khabar are now known as ismu inna and khabaru inna. The fourth point is the meaning of inna that I mentioned earlier. Inna signifies tawqid, emphasis. It can be translated as indeed, surely, no doubt, verily. Point number 5. If the mubtada in the original sentence has a single dhamma, when inna is introduced, it changes to a single fatha, and in the same way, if it has a double dhamma, it becomes a double fatha. The sixth point is that if the mubtada is a pronoun, it changes to its corresponding mansub form. Yani anta ghaniyun, anta is a pronoun, that's the mubtada. So when you use inna, you don't say inna anta, but you change the pronoun anta to the mansub form, yani the connected form of the pronoun. Innaka, instead of anta, ka, innaka ghaniyun. The last point, for the mansub forms of all pronouns, see exercise number 3 in the main book. And note that the pronouns of the first person, singular and plural, have 2 forms, inni or innani. Inni or innani, and inna or innana. The exercise number 3, actually, from lesson number 1, we do want to look at the mansub forms of the pronouns. But let me just go through quickly the remaining grammatical points from lesson number 1. Point number 2 is la'alla. Yani, this is also a particle like inna. It works the same way as inna. In fact, it's called one of the sisters of inna. Min akhawat inna. Grammatically, it acts like inna, meaning that it's only used with a jumla ismiya. And when you use it with a sentence, la'alla, when you use it with a jumla ismiya, the mubtada now becomes known as ismu la'alla. And the khabar becomes khabaru la'alla. And like with inna, the ism la'alla, like ism inna, becomes mansub. The meaning of la'alla, it signifies hope or fear. Yani, I hope for something good or I fear something evil. Number three is the word dhu. It means having or possessing something. Like dhu malin, possessing wealth or a wealthy person. It is always mudaf. Yani, dhu is always used in an idafa construction. So it's always going to be the first part of an idafa construction, and the word following it will be the mudaf ilayhi, and therefore majroor. The feminine form of dhu is dhatu, having the same meaning. The plural form of dhu is dhawu, and the plural of dhatu is dhawatu. One last point related to dhu. We said that it is from the asma al-khamsa, yani the special five nouns in the Arabic language, which means that when it is used in idhafa, and this particular word from the asma al-khamsa is always used in idhafa, when it's in idhafa, it has a special i'rab, and that is that instead of when it's marfu'un, the sign of it being marfu'un being dhamma, rather it is wow. And when it is majroor, instead of the sign of it being majroor being kasra, it is ya. And when it is mansub, instead of the sign of it being mansub being fatha, it is alif. So these are secondary i'rab signs. Yani, wow instead of dhamma, ya instead of kasra, and alif instead of fatha. Whenever it is, yani this particular word dhu, when it is in idhafa, and it's always in idhafa, then its i'rab, if it's marfu'un, the sign of it, of its i'rab is going to be waw, if it is marfu'un. And if it's mansub, it'll be alif, and if it's majroor, it'll be ya. We also saw in book one other words from the Asma al-Khamsa. We saw ab, and we saw akh, and the same rule is applicable to them. The fourth point from lesson number one is m, which means or, O-R. But it is only used in an interrogative sentence, yani when you are asking a question. Okay, and it's when you are asking a question, the answer to which is not going to be yes or no, na'am wa la, the answer is going to be a specific answer, yani because you're going to be asking about two things. For example, are you a doctor or an engineer? Are you from France or Germany? Did you see Bilal or Hamid? You're asking about one of two things, okay? So it's only going to be used in an interrogative sentence, and the answer is going to be something specific, because you're asking about one of two things, the answer is going to be one of them. As far as the rules for using M, it's used with the Hamzatul Istifham, the particle of for asking a question, the interrogative particle. And the two choices that you have that you're asking about, one of them must immediately follow Hamza, and the other one must immediately follow M, as in if you were asking, are you a teacher or a student? So one of them, teacher or student, must come immediately after Hamza, and the other one comes immediately after M, as for example, a mudarrisun anta, am talibun. Yani, are you a student? I mean, a teacher or a student. As far as in non-interrogative sentences, we said that aw is used for that. For example, if a person said, take this or that, I saw three or four. This is in a non-interrogative sentence. Point number five were the two numbers, mi'atun and alfun, 100 and 1,000. And we said that these are always used in idhafa, so that the ma'adud, the thing that's being counted that comes after it, is always going to be, yani mudafun ilayhi majroor, and it's also going to be singular. Both alf and mi'a have one form. It doesn't matter if the ma'adud is masculine or feminine, it doesn't change its form. The last point, number six, is the word ghalin. And this word is from a category of words known as ism manqus, al-ism al-manqus. And these are words that the last letter of the word is a ya that's always preceded by kasra, as in al-ghali, al-qadi, al-wadi, al-muhami, and so on. These are words that end with ya that's preceded by kasra. When that word loses its alif lam, al-ghali, when it loses alif lam, it also loses that ya at the end of the word, and it loses its vowel, but what remains is the noon sound from the tanween, which is placed on the last letter before the ya. And the term in this particular word, ghaliyun, when it loses its ya and its dhamma, the noon from the tanween is placed on the lamb with kasra, so it became ghalin. That's how you got ghalin. What we have to be clear about here is that this type of word can be deceptive. A person might think that it's majrurun when it doesn't have alif lam because it loses its ya, and therefore yani it ends with a kasra with noon. Okay, these are the points that we covered last week in lesson number one, and the only thing left remaining from quick review of lesson number one is looking at exercise number three in lesson number one, page 7, which gives us a listing of the mansub forms of the pronoun. So, if you had inna plus huwa, you don't say inna huwa, you say innahu. Inna plus hiya, innaha. Inna plus anta, innaka. Inna plus anti, innaki. Inna plus ana, inni or innani. Inna plus hum, innahum. Inna plus hunna, innahunna. Inna plus antum becomes innakum. Inna plus antunna becomes innakunna. And inna plus nahnu becomes innana or inna. So these particles, the mansub particles, yani when you use the pronouns, the mansub form of the pronouns, when you use them in the position where they're going to be mansub, so we change the form of the pronoun from huwa to hu, from hiya to ha, from anta to ka, from anti to ki, and so on. So we actually are familiar with these pronouns. We should be familiar with them because we studied them in book 1, in lessons 10, 12, 13, 14, and 15, when we dealt with pronouns. In that part of the book, we had these pronouns, but we had them used in their possessive form, yani when they're connected as the mudhaf ilayhi to a noun, like kitabuhu, kitabuha, kitabuki, kitabukum, and so on. We had them in lessons 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 of book 1. So we are already familiar with them, but in those lessons we use them in their possessive form, yani as the mudhaf ilayhi in the position where they should be majrur, and here we're using them in their accusative form, yani mansub form, where they are, for example, in this particular case, the object of inna, which makes them mansub. Okay, so this is our quick review of lesson number 1. And this type of review doesn't take that long. It's something that you should be constantly engaged in as we go through the preview of the first half of book 2. You should be constantly reviewing these previews so that you don't forget them, so that when we enter the full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah, you would not have forgotten these things, okay? We're going to go into them in great detail, and we're going to also practice using them with the exercises when we go into the full study of Medina Book 2. For now, we're just looking at the grammar, and we're looking at the vocabulary so that we can become familiar with it to make it a little bit easier when we transfer to book number 2. So it won't be so difficult, inshallah. Everybody will be familiar with the grammar. Everybody will be familiar with the vocabulary, and it will be a lot easier than we have found it for many people when they go directly from book 1 to book 2. And because of the level of study in book 2 being so different from book 1, a lot of people, yani the magnitude, the amount of vocabulary words, and the amount of grammatical points in book 2 in comparison to book 1 is so yani vast in book 2 that many people become overwhelmed by it. So we just want to use this preview of book number 2 to become acquainted with this grammar and to become acquainted with the vocabulary, so when we enter the full study of book 2, inshallah, we'll find it bi-idhnillahi ta'ala much easier. Okay, let's go to the lesson for today, lesson number 2. So as you know from the homework assignments that we send out weekly, today, inshallah, what we intended to do was a quick review of the English key for lesson number 1 from last week, and a quick review of the mansub pronoun forms that are used with inna from exercise number 3, page 7, also from lesson number 1. So we've completed that. At this point, we want to go to the lesson for today, which entails number 1, the English key and vocabulary on pages 6 and 7, and then a look at the conjugation of the verb laysa. The conjugation of the verb laysa, which comes in exercise number 3, page 14 of lesson number 2. And then after that, we're going to look at the Arabic text for this lesson number 2 on pages 12 and 13. Okay, the conjugation of the verb laysa is very, very important to us at this point in order to understand the different forms of the verb laysa, so that when we see it in sentence, or we hear it in speech, then we'll understand exactly what is intended by each form. This is a verb, like any other verb, it is conjugated, yani in the singular forms, the plural forms, the masculine and feminine forms, the first person, second person, and third person. And just as you say, yani anta katabta or anti katabti, you also say, yani, with laysa, yani, anta lasta, anti lasti, antum lestum, nahnu lesna. Yani, the same endings or normal verbs you're going to find on laysa. The difference is that laysa is, unlike the verbs that we have studied so far, laysa is from the akhawatu kana, and this type of verb is only used with a nominal sentence. It's used with a nominal sentence, okay? It requires a ism, laysa, and khabaru laysa, okay? Whereas the normal verbs only require a fa'il, yani the one who's doing the action. Here, it is required that we have a ism laysa and a khabaru laysa. Now, in the future, we will learn that laysa is from akhawatu kana. So, kana is the original verb that we are basing our study on, which we'll study later on. And laysa is one of its akhawat. So, the same way we said last week that inna has akhawat that act just like it, so also kana has akhawat that act just like it. Okay, so today we're not studying kana. Today we're studying one of the akhawatu kana. But the rules that we're going to see for laysa, we're going to see those same rules apply to kana and all of its other akhawat. Okay, so let's look at laysa on page 6, yani the English key, lesson number 2. This is the first of 4 grammar points. Yani there are 4 grammar points in this lesson. This is a very, yani relatively short lesson. There are only 4 grammar points, few vocabulary words, 8 vocabulary words, and maybe about the same number of exercises. It's a relatively short lesson. We're not going to go through the exercises today. We're just going to look at the 4 points of the English key. And we're going to look at the conjugation of laysa in exercise number 3. That's the only exercise we're going to look at. And then we're going to look at the Arabic text to see how laysa is used, yani, in normal speech. Yani, to see it in context. All right, the main thing that we want to do today is we want to memorize, we've already started memorizing some of the vocabulary. And in addition to that, what we want to do is we want to study these 4 grammatical points, the first of them being the most important, yani the first grammatical point related to, yani laysa. The second point is also, yani, very important, as we'll see, the second point relates to laysa and it relates to inna from the previous lesson. Okay, so let's read from page 6. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number one is related to laysa. And just like inna in the previous lesson had many points, subdivisions, subsidiary points, so laysa also has a number of subsidiary points. Okay, I'm going to number them as 1 through 10. They are not numbered here, but I'm going to number them as 1 through 10 just so that we can distinguish each point from the next one. Okay, so you will see that there are 10 things that you need to know about laysa, at least 10 things that you need to know about laysa, that we're going to look at today, inshallah. Hopefully you've already read the key and you've studied it somewhat and you probably understand most of it. And if there's anything that was not clear as you were reading it on your own, inshallah, hopefully we'll try to clarify those things today. So the first thing you want to know is that there are at least 10 subsidiary points related to laysa. You need to know all 10 of them. Okay, I'm going to number them. They're not numbered in the book, but I'm going to number them so that we can distinguish one point from the next. Okay, so I'm reading from the top of the page. In this lesson, we learned the following. Number one, laysa. So the first point is laysa, it means is not. That's the first point. The meaning of laysa, it means is not. And we'll see it in the example that follows. The second point is immediately attached to this sentence. It is used in a nominal sentence. Yani laysa is used in a nominal sentence. So the first 2 points are the meaning of laysa and how it's used. The meaning of it, it means is not. Something is not. Okay? And how is it used? It's used with a nominal sentence. A jumla ismiya, a mubtada and a khabar. Subject and predicate. Okay, so they give us 4 examples. how to use laysa with a nominal sentence. Here's the nominal sentence. Al-baytu jadidun. Al-baytu jadidun. Meaning what? The house is new. So, the meaning of laysa is not. So if I wanted to say the house is not new, then I'll use laysa. And I'll say, laysa al-baytu bijadidin. The house is not new. Laysa al-baytu means the house is not. And then we have the preposition be, which we can use or we can leave it out. Yani there are two ways to use laysa, either with the preposition be or without it. Okay, in this lesson, we're going to be using it with be, but we also need to know that it can be used without be. You don't have to use be. But when you use be, it's going to make that word attached to the preposition be. It's going to make it, obviously, the object of the preposition, majroor. Okay, so the original sentence, al-baytu jadidun, the house is new. The new sentence, laysa al-baytu bijadidin, the house is not new. The third point is in reference to be. Okay, the first point, laysa means is not. The second point is used with a nominal sentence. Then they gave us an example. In that example is the third point related to laysa. Note that be is added to the khabar of laysa. And it is therefore majroor. It's attached to the khabar, and therefore the khabar becomes majroor. Then there's a footnote here, number one. Go to the bottom of the page. The footnote says, we can also say laysa al-baytu jadidan, jadidan being mansub, jadidan being mansub. Here the khabar has no be. The preposition be is not used on the khabar, and therefore the khabar is mansub. You will learn this later, insha'Allah. Okay, so what's the point here? They're saying here, yani my third point related to laysa is note that be is added to the khabar, and it is therefore, yani the khabar therefore is majroor. However, what we are saying in this footnote is that if you don't have to use be, and if you don't use be, the khabar will be mansub. And this is the original ruling related to laysa, that when you use it with a jumla ismiya, the mubtada and khabar after laysa become ism laysa and khabar laysa. And the ism laysa is marfu'un and the khabar laysa is mansub. It's mansub. But if you use be, then it changes it from being mansub to majroor. Okay, we're going to study that in detail later on. But the reason why this note is important is because just like inna is used with a mubtada and khabar, which becomes ism inna and khabar or inna, likewise, laysa is used with a mubtada and khabar, and that mubtada and khabar become ismu laysa and khabar laysa. So the difference between inna and laysa when they use with a jumla ismiya is that when inna is used with a jumla ismiya, the ism inna becomes mansub. And when laysa is used with a jumla ismiya, the khabar of laysa becomes mansub. The ism of inna is mansub, but the khabar of laysa is mansub. So both of them make one of those two words mansub. Inna makes the mubtada, which became ism inna mansub, and laysa makes the khabar, which became khabaru laysa mansub. Alright? So both of them are used with a jumla ismiya, inna and laysa, except that inna makes the mubtada, the ism inna mansub, and laysa makes the khabar mansub. Okay, so this is the third point. Note that B is added to the khabar, and it is therefore majroor. But if B is not added, the khabar will be mansub. The next sentence, which is my fourth point, after the introduction of laysa, the mubtada is called ismu laysa, and the khabar is called khabaru laysa. Okay, so I already mentioned this, but this is a point that you need to know, that after the introduction of laysa, the jumla ismiya, composed of mubtada and khabar, those two parts of the jumla ismiya, the mubtada and the khabar, get new names now. The mubtada is now known as ismu laysa, and the khabar is now called khabaru laysa. Khabaru laysa. I'm going to add a statement here to this point number four. After the introduction of laysa, the mubtada is called ismu laysa, and that ismu laysa, the ismu laysa, is marfu'un with dhamma. And the khabar is now called khabaru laysa, and the khabaru laysa is mansub in the accusative case, unless you use ba with it. The b, yani the preposition b, makes it, changes it to be majroor, because it's the object of the preposition. Okay, next sentence. The next point. I'm numbering it as point number 5. The feminine form of laysa is layset. Layset. Just like the feminine form of jalasa is jalasat. Yani ta with sukoon. The feminine form of hafiza is hafizat. Hafizat. Yani with ta with sukoon. The feminine form, yani, of qama is qamat. Like this, okay? So this is the feminine form of laysa is laysat. Then they give you two examples, one with a human being, a female, and one with an inanimate thing that's feminine. One with an inanimate thing that's feminine. Okay, the first example is with the jumla ismiya, Zainabu Maridatun. Zainabu Maridatun. Zaina is the mubtada, marfu'un with dhamma, and Maridatun is the khabar, marfu'un with dhamma. When we use laysa, we use the feminine form because the mubtada is feminine. Zainab, that's a female name. So we use the feminine form of the verb, laysat. Zainabu bimaridatin. Okay? So now, Zainabu is the ism laysat, marfu'un with dhamma, and bi maridatin is the khabar of laysa. If there was no bi there, then we would say, laysat Zainabu maridatan would be mansub. But because of bi, we make it majroor. Laysat Zainabu bi maridatin. Zainab is not sick. The second example they gave us is with an inanimate thing that's feminine. As-sayyaratu qadimatun. The car is old. If we want to say the car is not old, then we say laysat as-sayyaratu biqadimatin. Laysat as-sayyaratu biqadimatin. The car is not old. Here you should note that in the second example, laysat as-sayyaratu biqadimatin, the sukoon of laysat is changed to kasra. It's changed to kasra. So actually it should be read, laysatis sayyaratu biqadimatin. Laysati, yani laysatis sayyaratu biqadimatin. This is because of the following alif lam. Yani because the word following laysat has alif lam, as-sayyaratu. And therefore you have iltiqa'i sakinain. Therefore, you have iltiqa'i sakinain. You have the meaning of two sakin letters. Yani the ta has sukoon and the lam of alif lam has sukoon. Even though the lam is merged into the scene because of a sun letter, but the basic rule is that, yani, it's a sakin letter. So when you have two sakin letters, two letters with sukoon, you have to get rid of that by adding a vowel. Sometimes the vowel, as it in this case is kasra, sometimes it could be fatha, sometimes it could be dhamma. So, this is point number 6. Note that in the second example, the sukoon of laysat is changed to kasra, became laysati. And this is because of the following, alif lam. They said, see book 1, lesson 12, for an example of this. And we saw this in book 1, in lesson 12. I think the example they gave in book 1 at that time was laysat albintu. So it became laysat, became laysati, laysatil bintu. Laysatil bintu, yani the girl is not, or the daughter is not. Okay, the next sentence says, the forms of laysa with other pronouns are mentioned in exercise 3 in the main book. Yani we're going to look at exercise number 3 after we finish reading this English key, okay? Exercise number 3 gives us the other forms of the pronoun, yani the other pronouns that's used with the verb laysa. The forms of laysa with other pronouns are mentioned in exercise 3 in the main book. So we're going to go to that after we finish reading the English key. And again, the point is that laysa is a verb. So it's conjugated like every other verb. It's connected to pronouns, to tu, ta, ti, and so on, like with other verbs. In the same way that you say sharibtu, sharibta, sharibti, so likewise you say lestu, lesta, lesti. Alright, with the same pronoun endings, tu, ta, ti, and so on. So, the forms of laysa with other pronouns are mentioned in exercise 3, we're going to come to that. The next point, which I numbered as number 7, is in lastu bi muhandisin. Yani in the sentence, lastu bimuhandisin. The pronoun tu is the ism of laysa. And bimuhandisin is the khabaru laysa, is the khabar of laysa. Alright, so, in the previous sentences, we had a clear noun as a mubtada. But if the mubtada is a pronoun, yani this sentence, lastu bimuhandisin, without laysa, the original sentence is ana muhandisin. I am a muhandis. I am a muhandis. But if I want to say I am not a muhandis, I'm not going to say laysa ana. But rather the pronoun ana is going to be changed to its connected form when it's attached to a verb which is tu. Like katabtu, qara'atu, sharibtu, akaltu. That tu represents the first person singular when the pronoun is attached to a verb. So here we see that ana muhandisun, I am an engineer. If we want to change it to I am not an engineer, then ana, the pronoun ana, is going to be replaced by a pronoun that's connected to the verb, which is tu. In the same way we connect, yani to any other verb, the pronoun for the first person singular. When we say I wrote, we say katabtu. So I am not, we say lastu bimuhandisin. So here the point is, this is point number 7, that I've numbered as number 7. Lastu bimuhandisin. In this sentence, the pronoun tu attached to the verb laysa, the pronoun tu is here the ism of laysa. Because remember, the mubtada in the sentence becomes ism laysa. And the mubtada in this sentence is ana. And ana is converted to the connected form of the pronoun for the verb. It's transformed from ana to tu. So tu here, yani, is replacing ana. It's replacing the mubtada. Therefore, it becomes ismu laysa. The pronoun tu is the ism laysa. And bi muhandis in the rest of the sentence is khabaru laysa. Alright, so this point number 7 is in reference to what? It's in reference to the jumla ismiya that begins with a pronoun. When you add laysa, you have to convert that pronoun to the form of the pronoun when it's attached to a verb. To the form of the pronoun when it's attached to a verb. In the same way with inna, we changed ana to inni or innani. Okay? We changed anta to innaka. You change the pronoun from anta to ka. From anti to ki. So here you also have to change the pronoun, but now we're not changing it to the mansub form. We're changing it to the form of the pronoun that's attached to a verb. Yani this is the marfu'un form, because here it becomes the subject of the verb, and the subject of the verb is marfu'un. Yani it's mabni'un in the place where it should be marfu'un. What is important here is that, yani the point number 7 that you need to know is that if the sentence, the mubtada is a pronoun, when you add laysa to the sentence, you have to convert that pronoun to the form of the pronoun that's used when you attach it to a verb. So if it was huwa muhandisun, then you would change huwa to the form of the verb of laysa for third person masculine singular, which is laysa. And if it was antum, you would transfer it to lastum. If it was hum, you would say laysu with waw al-jama'ah. And we're going to see those forms of the pronoun that's used with laysa in exercise number 3. Okay, point number 8. We can also say the same sentence, lastu bimuhandisin. We can say that sentence as ana lastu bimuhandisin. Yani, in other words, we can actually use the personal pronoun ana with the verb lastu. Lastu, the tu here means ana. But in any case, you can also rephrase this sentence by using the pronoun ana along with lastu, and you can say ana lastu bimuhandisin. And it means the same thing. I am not a muhandis. The only difference is that here in this sentence, when you use ana, here ana is the mubtada, and the sentence yani lastu bimuhandisin is the khabar. This sentence is made up of ismu laysa and khabaru laysa, as we have seen earlier, yani in the previous sentence that I numbered as sentence number 7. When we said lastu bimuhandisin, yani tu is ism laysa and bimuhandisin is the khabar. So here, this lastu bimuhandisin, tu is the ism laysa and bimuhandisin is the khabaru laysa. All of that, lastu bimuhandisin, all of that is the khabar of the jumla ismiya that begins with ana. Yani when we change the sentence and make it a jumla ismiya by adding the personal pronoun ana, instead of just saying lastu bi muhandisin, we can say ana lastu bi muhandisin. Same meaning. Yani maybe there's emphasis there because you're using ana with lastu. But the main difference here is that when you begin the sentence with ana, it becomes a jumla ismiya. And ana is the mubtada, and the rest of the sentence, lastu bi muhandisin, yani laysa, and its ism and its khabar, all of that is the khabar for ana. Okay, this is a little bit any complex i'rab, but basically there's two ways of saying the same thing, lastu bi muhandisin, or ana lastu bi muhandisin. In the second sentence, ana is the mubtada and the rest of the sentence is the khabar. Point number nine, it says, note the following, and they give us two examples. Ana mudarrisun with laysa becomes lastu, because ana, yani, is converted to the pronoun for connecting to a verb which is to. So ana mudarrisun becomes lastu bi mudarrisin. Lastu bi mudarrisin. Second example. Ana min al-hindi. Again, ana is converted to the pronoun form that's used for connecting to a verb, so it becomes lastu min al-hindi. Lastu min al-hindi. So what we want to note here is, says note the following. Look at these two sentences. What's the difference between them? Ana mudarrisun. Ana min al-hindi. If the khabar, it says here after the second example, this is the rule. If the khabaru laysa, the khabar of laysa is a prepositional clause. Yani a preposition. And the object of the preposition, jaa wal majroor. If it's a prepositional clause, a clause that includes a preposition, like min al hindi. If the khabar is a prepositional clause, it does not take b. Does not take, you can't use b. B is optional in any case, but in this case you can't use it. So one does not say lastu bi min al-hindi. Lastu bi min al-hindi. You already have a preposition. You don't put another preposition on top of a preposition. So in this case, you can't use bi here. Rather, you just use the prepositional phrase without bi. Okay? So, ana min al-hind. If you want to say I am not from Hind, you say, instead of ana, you say lastu min al-hindi. I am not from India. Okay, it doesn't take an extra preposition, the B here in this particular case. Okay, the last point that we want to make concerning laysa. Okay, we've made a lot of points, okay? So far the points that we made is laysa, its meaning is not. The second point, it's used in a nominal sentence, mubtada and khabar, jumla ismiya. The third point is that the preposition B may be used with the khabar to make it majroor. The fourth point is that the mubtada and khabar now change their name to ism laysa and khabaru laysa. The fifth point is that the feminine of laysa is laysat, like kataba and katabat. The sixth point is that laysat, if it's followed by alif lam, you have iltiqa' sakinain, so you change the sukun to a kasr and becomes laysati. The seventh point is that lastu bi muhandisin, here the ism of laysa is the pronoun to that's attached to it. The eighth point is that lastu bi muhandisin can also be expressed with a personal pronoun. Instead of just saying lastu, you can say ana lastu bi muhandisin, which has the same meaning. The ninth point is that if the khabar of laysa is a prepositional clause or a prepositional phrase, yani a preposition and the object of the preposition jaa wal majroor, then you do not use the preposition, extra preposition B with it. Okay, now we're going to the last point of laysa on page 7. This is the last point related to laysa. I numbered it as number 10. We have seen in book 1 some examples. Yani we didn't study this in book 1, but we saw in some of the examples that if the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is a prepositional clause, the mubtada becomes, or the mubtada comes after the khabar. In that case, the mubtada comes after the khabar. Okay, so what are we saying here is that the normal arrangement of a jumla ismiya is that the mubtada comes first and the khabar follows. But there's a special rule: if the mubtada is not definite, it's indefinite, and the khabar is a, yani, shibba jumla, The khabar is what? A shibh jumla, prepositional phrase. In that case, the order is reversed. So the mubtada now, instead of coming first, it's delayed and comes last. And the khabar, instead of coming last, it's advanced and it comes first. An example of this they gave, li ikhwatun. Li ikhwatun. I have brothers. Li ikhwatun. Okay, let me just stop here for a minute before I finish this sentence. Li ikhwatun. This is an example of a mubtada and a khabar, where the mubtada, ikhwatun, is indefinite, and the khabar is a shibh jumla, a prepositional phrase, li. Yani the preposition li and the first person singular pronoun, ya al-mutakallam. Li plus ya al-mutakallam. This is a preposition, an object of the preposition, yani a prepositional clause. So in this case, when the mubtada is indefinite, as in li ikhwatun, ikhwatun is the mubtada, it's indefinite. And if its khabar is a prepositional phrase, the order have to be reversed. Yani the original order should be ikhwatun li. Ikhwatun li, brothers for me. But since ikhwatun is indefinite, now it has to be delayed and come at the end. Okay? So, the last thing I want to say about this is that the technical terminology that's used for the mubtada when it's delayed is called mubtada muakhar. Muakhar mean akhara. You delay it and make it come at the end. And the khabar is known as khabar muqaddam. Muqaddam means qaddamahu. You advanced it and made it come ahead of its time. Made it come first. Okay? So when the mubtada is delayed, it's called, the delayed mubtada is called al-mubtada'u al-muakharu. And when the khabar is advanced, it's known as coming first, al-khabaru al-muqaddamu. Al-khabaru al-muqaddamu. So these are the technical terms used for the mubtada when it's delayed and the khabar when it's advanced. And this is in the case when the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is a shibh jumla. Okay, so what they want to say here now, this is our last point related to Laysa. We have seen in book one that if the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is a prepositional phrase, the mubtada comes after the khabar, it's delayed. And the khabar comes first, and the example they gave us, li ikhwatun, I have brothers. So li is the khabar advanced, and ikhwatun is the mubtada delayed. Now, that being said, we've seen some examples of that in book one, but we didn't study it as a grammar point. So, when we have this case, where the mubtada and khabar are reversed in their order, with laysa, this sentence becomes, laysa li ikhwatun, I have no brothers. Yani li ikhwatun, I have brothers. Laysa li ikhwatun, I have no brothers. Here, ikhwatun is ism laysa, and li is khabaru laysa. Here, ikhwatun is the ism laysa. Normally, the ism laysa comes immediately following it, but this is the case where the jumla ismiya, the mubtada and khabar are out of order. So normally, the mubtada would come first, and so the ism laysa would immediately follow it. But if the mubtada is delayed, muakhar, then it's not going to immediately follow laysa, but it's still the ism of laysa, and ism laysa is marfu'un. Ism laysa is marfu'un. The khabar of laysa is mansub, unless it has the preposition be making it majroor. Okay, so this is very important to keep in mind, that when you have a sentence where the mubtada and khabar are out of order, you have to pay attention when you use inna and when you use laysa. You have to pay attention to which word is actually the ism of inna and the khabar of inna, or the ism of laysa and the khabar of laysa. Okay, I'll give you one more example of a sentence. For example, if we said the pen is on the table, right? How would you say the pen is on the table? Al-qalamu ala al-maktabi. Al-qalamu ala al-maktabi. The pen here is the mubtada marfu'un, and it's coming first. But what if the pen that's on the table is indefinite? A pen is on the table. And the khabar is a shibh jumla, ja'a al-majrur, ala al-maktabi. In that case, the order has to be reversed. So instead of saying qalamun ala al-maktabi, as we said, al-qalamu, but here, if qalamun is indefinite, then it has to come in the end. So you say ala al-maktabi qalamun, ala al-maktabi qalamun. Here, if you use laysa with this sentence, ala al-maktabi qalamun, you say laysa ala al-maktabi qalamun. it's okay because the ism of laysa is marfu'un. But what if you used inna? Inna ala al-maktabi qalaman. Because here, qalaman is the ism of inna and ism inna is mansub. That's why you have to pay attention. Yani because you don't want to say inna ala al-maktabi qalamun. Like we said, laysa ala al-maktabi qalamun. In the first one, laysa ala al-maktabi qalamun is good because the ism of laysa qalamun is marfu'un. But in the second sentence, inna ala al-maktabi qalaman, here qalaman is the ism of inna and ism of inna is mansub, as we learned in lesson 1. Okay, so this is the last point related to laysa, and it is also, in my explanation here, is the first point, is the next point, point number 2. If inna is added to a sentence, like that sentence, li ikhwatun, it becomes inna li ikhwatan. Inna li ikhwatan. Here, ikhwatan is mansub because if it's the ism of inna. And ism inna is mansub. And li is the khabar of inna. Okay. So the difference here with the jumla ismiya, if the mubtada is indefinite and it is delayed muakhar, you have to pay attention because the ism of laysa is marfu'un, but the ism of inna is mansub. Ism of inna is mansub. So even though it's not coming directly behind inna, as long as we know that it is originally the mubtada, but it's being delayed because it's indefinite, then we have to make sure that when you use inna, the ism of inna has to be mansub. Okay, the last thing that we want to say concerning grammar, or last 2 points, or two brief points. Point number 3, we're still on page 7. Bilalu ibnu Hamidin. Or if you read it together, Bilal ibn Hamidin, meaning Bilal, the son of Hamid. Bilal, the son of Hamid. In a construction like this, the alif of ibnu or ibnun is omitted in writing. The alif of the word ibnu is omitted in writing. And the preceding word loses its tanween, yani Bilalun. Yani originally it's Bilalun ibnu. Bilalun loses its tanween, it becomes a single dhamma. And Ibnun loses the alif that is normally written, yani the alif for Hamzatul Wasl. Okay, so please make a note of this. This is a special type of construction when you have something like this. Bilal or Ahmed or Muhammad, the son of so-and-so. Then the first word, it loses its tanween and the word Ibn loses its alif in terms of writing. Okay, so instead of saying Bilalun Ibn Hamidin, you say Bilalubnu Hamidin. The fourth point is من الأخ يعني الأخ من الأخ literally means who is the brother. Who is the brother? من means who and الأخ means the brother. Who is the brother? It is a polite way of asking a stranger who he is. And it's a very polite, respectful manner of asking somebody who's a total stranger, who are you? يعني who is the brother? يعني it's a respectful way of saying I recognize you as a brother. يعني introduce yourself. Okay, that's the end of the grammatical points for this lesson. The most important, obviously, of this lesson is laysa. We're going to look at the vocabulary and then we're going to come back to laysa in terms of the conjugation of laysa in exercise number 3. Exercise number 3, na'am, page 14. Let's look at the vocabulary quickly. Yani from the right side, nahrun means a river. A river. Baraqiyatun means a telegram. Masrifun means a bank. Maktabul Baridi is the post office. Yani the office of Barid, the office of post office. On the left side, Liqa'un means a meeting. Yani meeting with somebody. Liqa'un. Then we have an expression here that means I am happy to meet you. Ana masrurun biliqa'ika. Ana is the personal pronoun, first person singular, ana. Masrurun means to be happy. I am happy. Be with, I am happy with. Liqa'i, meeting. Ka is the yani second person masculine singular representing anta, ka. Yani be liqa'i is a word, be is a preposition, and kaf is a pronoun. So be liqa'ika means with meeting you. I am happy with meeting you. I'm happy to meet you. Jayidun means good. Jaybun means pocket. Pocket. Jayb. Okay, this is the vocabulary, inshallah. Not that many vocabulary words, hopefully. You try to memorize them so that when we go to the full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah, you won't have the burden of trying to memorize a lot of vocabulary. Okay, now what we're going to do is just go through one exercise, exercise number 3 on page 14, which deals with the conjugation of the verb laysa. Okay, this chart is divided into 3 sections. It's not, yani there are not lines drawn between them, but the first 4 sentences are all the third person forms of the pronoun. Al-Ghaib, third person forms of the pronoun. Yani huwa and hum, yani the third person, masculine, singular and plural. And hiya and hunna, the third person, feminine, singular and plural. The next 4 lines are dealing with the second person pronouns. Al-Mukhatab, the second person pronouns. Anta and Antum, yani masculine, singular and plural. Anti and Antunna, feminine, singular and plural. And then the last 2 lines are dealing with the first person pronouns. Yani Al-Mutakallim, Ana, singular, and Nahnu, plural. Okay, so there are 10 lines here. The first 4 are all third person pronouns with Laysa. The next 4 are all second person pronouns with Laysa. And the last 2 are first person pronouns with Laysa, yani. And each of these groups, yani the first 4 has, yani masculine, singular and plural, and feminine, singular and plural, except for the first person, yani, because we know that in the first person singular, it's used the same for masculine and feminine, and the first person plural also is used the same for masculine and feminine. So just note that there's masculine and feminine, singular and plural. First 4 are all gha al-ghaib, third person pronouns. The next 4 are all al-mukhatab, second person pronouns. And the last 2 are first person pronouns, al-mutakallim. Alright, so basically they're giving you a sentence such as Hamidun talibun. Hamid is a student. And then they're saying Hamid is not a student. Hamidun laysa bitalibin. So laysa is for third person masculine singular. The next line, At-tullabu sigarun. The students are young. The students are not young. At-tullabu laysu bisigarin. So here, laysu with waw al-jama'ah is the third person masculine plural that corresponds to hum, laysu. The next line, aminatu tabibatun. Amina is a female doctor. Amina is not a female doctor. Aminatu laysat bitabibatin. Laysat is the third person feminine singular form. Yani hiya laysat. Like hiya katabat. Hiya jalasat. Hiya laysat. The fourth line has alfatayatu mutazawijatun. Alfatayatu mutazawijatun. Yani the young ladies are married. They are married. The young ladies are not married. Al-fatayatu lasna bimutazawijatin. Lasna here is the third person feminine plural form that corresponds to hunna, lasna. Hunna, lasna. Okay, these first 4 are all third person. Masculine, feminine, singular, and plural pronoun forms with laysa. Okay, so those forms are what? Laysa, huwa laysa, hum laysu, hiya laysat, and hunna lasna. That's noon and niswa. Lasna, with a short vowel. The next 4 are the second person pronouns. Yani anta, antum, anti, and antunna. You, masculine, singular, and plural. And you, feminine, singular, and plural. Anti and antunna. Okay, so the corresponding forms, you have, for example, the fifth line of the second person pronouns. Anta kabirun. You are big or great. Anta lasta bikabirin. You are not big or great. Okay? So, lasta is the second person masculine singular form of the verb laysa. Just like katabta. Anta katabta. Anta lasta. Next line is the second person masculine plural. Antum jududun. You all are new. You want to say you all are not new? Antum lastum bijududin. Lastum bijududin. So this is the second person masculine plural form of laysa. Lastum. Antum lastum. The next line, Anti faqiratun. You are poor. You are not poor. Anti lasti bi faqiratin. Lasti is the second person feminine singular form for the verb laysa. Anti lasti. The plural, second person, feminine plural form, antunna. Mujtahidatun. You all, speaking to a group of women, you all are diligent, hard-working people. Mujtahidatun. You all are not hard-working people. Antunna. Lastunna bimujtahidatin. So, lastunna corresponds to antunna. Second person, feminine plural. Lastunna, yani antunna lastunna bimujtahidatin. Now we go to the first person, singular. Ana mudarrisun. I am a teacher. I am not a teacher. Ana lastu bimudarrisin. Lastu is the first person, singular form of the pronoun for going with laysa. Lastu bimudarrisin. And the plural, nahnu tullabun. Yani we are students. We are not students. Nahnu lasna bitullabin. We are not students. Lasna. Okay, so these are the forms of the verb yani laysa. The third person forms huwa laysa. Hum laysu with waw al jama'. Hiya laysat. Hunna lasna. Noon and niswa. Second person forms anta lasta. Antum lastum. Feminine. Anti lasti. Antunna lastunna. First person forms yani ana lastu and nahnu lasna. Okay, so this is something that just has to be memorized. The endings are basically the same as the endings on any other verb. Yani the pronoun endings. Those pronouns on the end of the verb are the fa'il, the subject doer of the action. Okay, now we want to go to the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson. And what we're trying to do here is we want to look at some of the grammatical points that came in this lesson, primarily laysa. And as well, we'll look and see if we see yani, the point related to inna or laysa being used with a jumla ismiya where the mubtada and khabar are reversed in their order. And then we'll look for yani something like Bilal ibn Hamid. Yani, so we'll see that Bilal here loses his tanween. Because remember, masculine proper nouns have tanween. Unless they are ending with ta marbuta. But here we see it doesn't have tanween. That's because in this kind of construction it loses the tanween. And as well, ibnun also loses its alif. Yani hamzatul wasu. Alright, so we're going to look for these points as we read through the lesson. The main thing we're looking for is laysa. And also any grammatical points from the previous lesson, like inna or inna wa akhawatuha and things like this. Okay, so let's read from page 12 and 13. Ad-darsu al-thani. Ad-darsu al-thani. It begins with Hashim. And this discussion is actually between Hashim and Bilal. I think there's only two of them in this discussion. Hisham and Bilal. Okay, Hisham begins the discussion. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And we don't need to translate this. This is well known to all of us. But in terms of grammar, yani assalamu is the mubtada, marfu'un with dhamma. And alaykum is ja wal majroor. Assalamu alaykum. Yani, so this is a mubtada and a khabar. Wa rahmatullahi, yani the mercy of Allah. This is a yani mudaf and mudaf ilayhi. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And this is also a mudaf, but here the mudaf ilayhi is a pronoun. So it's mabniyun in the place where it should be majroor. Barakatuhu. Yani the salam, the peace be upon you, the peace of Allah be upon you, and the rahmah of Allah and His blessings. Bilal responds by saying, wa alaykumus salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Okay, and the peace be upon you and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. Here I want to also note, since we're talking about the mubtada and khabar being advanced and delayed, that even though if the mubtada is indefinite, it must be delayed. If it is definite, it can also be delayed. It doesn't have to be, but it's optional. It's permissible. So here we see, wa alaykum as-salam. Wa alaykum is the khabar, shibah jumla. And as-salam is the mubtada. And in this case, the mubtada is definite, so it doesn't have to be delayed, but it is permissible. It is permissible. Okay, so that we want to note that in some cases, the mubtada may be delayed in a permissible situation. But what we were talking about early on for this particular lesson is that sometimes it's mandatory. If the mubtada is indefinite, it's mandatory that it be delayed. Here it's not mandatory, it's optional. So we're saying, and upon you be the peace and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. After a pause, Bilal says, Kayfa haluka ya akhi? Kayfa haluka ya akhi? How are you, O my brother? And then he says to him, Manil akhu? Yani, who is the brother? Yani, respectful way of asking a stranger who they are. Hisham then says, yani, responding to him, who are you, Manil akh? He says, أنا مهندس جديد. I am a new engineer. اسمي هشام. My name is هشام. أنا من الولايات المتحدة. We shed on the ta. متحدة. الولايات المتحدة. I am from the United States. Let's just look at these three sentences. أنا مهندس جديد. اسمي هشام. أَنَا مِنَ الْوِلَايَاتِ الْمُتْحَدَةِ. Okay, in terms of the grammatical analysis of these sentences, يعني أَنَا مُهَنْدِسٌ جَدِيدٌ is a jumla ismiya. أَنَا is the مُبْتَدَى. It's a pronoun, so it is مَبْنِيٌ in the place where it should be مَرْفُون, because the مُبْتَدَى is always مَرْفُون. But since it's a pronoun, we don't say it's مَرْفُون, we say it's مَبْنِيٌ in the place where it should be مَرْفُون, فِي مَحَلِّ رَفْ. Muhandisun is the khabr, marfu'un with dhamma, and jadidun is a na'at, or sifa, describing muhandisun. And we remember that we said that the na'at must agree with the man'ut in four matters. So we see that jadidun, like muhandisun, it's agreeing with muhandisun, it's being marfu'un with dhamma, it's agreeing with it in being mudhakkar, it's agreeing with it in being indefinite without alif lam. And what else? And it's agreeing with it in number. It's singular. Okay, so it has to agree with it in four things. In number, indefiniteness or indefiniteness, in being masculine or feminine, and in being in case ending. Alright? أنا مهندس جديد. In the next sentence, اسمي هشام. اسم is the مبتدأ. We don't see the Dhamma because whenever Ya al-Mutakallam is connected to a word, it forces it to take Kasra as its vowel. Ya al-Mutakallam is always preceded by Kasra. But in any case, Ismu, right here, Ism is the Mubtada, and it is Marfu'un, except that you don't see the sign of Raf because of Ya al-Mutakallam. Ya al-Mutakallam is Mudawf ilayhi. It's a pronoun, it's Mabniyun in the place where it should be. Yani, as Mudawfun ilayhi, it should be Majroor, in the place where it should be Majroor. Hishamun is the khabar. Yani ism is the mubtada and hishamun is the khabar marfu'un with dhamma. As far as the last sentence, ana min al-wilayati al-muttahidati, yani ana is the mubtada, it's a pronoun, it's mabniyun fi mahalli raf, in the place where it should be marfu'un. Min al-wilayat is jawal majroor khabar. Jawal majroor khabar, and al-muttahida is a not describing al-wilayat. الولاياتي المتحدتي. Then Bilal speaks, he says, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بك يا أخي. And after Hisham introduced himself as being a new muhandis, and his name is Hisham, and he's from the United States, Bilal says to him, welcome. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بك يا أخي. And we've discussed this expression many times. أهلا means you are like family, meaning we are happy to have you here. You're just like family. There's no burden. Yani, be comfortable. Sahlan means easy. Yani, you're staying, you're being with us is easy. It's not a burden on us. And marhaban means welcome to you. Welcome to you. So this is like saying, you're like family, you're being with us is easy, and you are welcome, oh my brother. Then Bilal goes on to say, أنا مسرور بلقائك. أنا مسرور بلقائك. And we already said that بلقائك is a preposition ب. لقاء is a noun, the object of the preposition. That's why it has كسرة. And كاف is مضاف إليه, يعني مبني in the place where it should be, as مضاف إليه should be مجرور. Otherwise, this sentence is composed of أنا, which is the مبتدا, مبني في محل رفع in the place where it should be مرفون, and مسرور is the خبر مرفون with دمة, and بلقائك يعني is جاء والمجرور. يعني and يعني the cat and is مضاف to لقاء, يعني مضاف مبني in the place where it should be مجرور. Then he says أنا زميلك, I am your associate, يعني your يعني person who works with you, I am your associate, يعني زميلك. Sometimes زميلك may be translated as your classmate, but here since he's an engineer, then they are working in the same company, you say an associate. نعم أنا زميلك. أنا is the مبتدا, زميل is the خبر مرفوع والضمة, and كاف is مضاف إليه مبني in the place where it should be مجرور. اسمي بلال بن حامد. اسمي بلال بن حامد. My name, Bilal now introducing himself, my name is Bilal, the son of Hamid. The son of Hamid. نعم. And again, we want to note that Bilalun loses its tanween because of this type of construction where you mention a person's name and that they are the son of so-and-so. And likewise, the Hamzatul Wasl, the Aleph from Ibn, is also omitted in this case. And these two words are joined directly together. Bilal ibn Hamidin. I'm Bilal, son of Hamid. After a pause, he goes on to say, yani to ask Hisham, Amin Washington, Anta ya Hishamu? Amin Washington, are you from Washington? You, O Hisham? Yani, the meaning here is, literally, are you from Washington? Except that, instead of saying, A'anta min Washington, he said, Amin Washington, Anta. Okay, and this is permissible to reverse the order, even though it's not mandatory to do so. It's permissible to give precedence to the Jawal Majroor and delay the Mubtada. Because Anta min Washington, this is Mubtada and Khabar Jumla Ismiya, and the Anta normally should come first, but it's permissible for it to come after, as long as there's, and it doesn't lead to any confusion about the meaning of the sentence. Amin Washingtona Anta. We're going to study the details of these rules relating, yani delaying and advancing Mubtada and Khabar and things like that in level 3. Amin Washingtona Anta Ya Hisham, are you from Washington, O Hisham? Hisham answers, La Ana lastu min Washingtona. No, Ana lastu min Washingtona. I am not from Washington. Inni min New York. New Yorker. I am from, indeed, I am from, verily, surely, I am from New York. Okay, we want to say, yani, are you from Washington? He said, La, no. Anna lastu min Washington. Okay, here we have Anna, which is the Mubtada. It's Mabniyun in the place where it should be, Marfu'un. And then we have lastu min Washingtona. This, Laysa, and ism laysa, to, the pronoun to, and the jaw al majrua, which is khabaru laysa, all of this together is the khabar of ana. Ana is mubtada, and the rest of this sentence, last to min washingtona, is the khabar. This khabar is composed of laysa, plus the ism laysa, which is two here is the ism laysa, and the khabar of laysa is the jaw al majrua, shiba jumla, min washingtona. Okay, we explained this in the key, and I think it was point number 8. They are not numbered in the original key, but when we were going through, I was giving numbers to them just so that you can and easily refer to each point one by one. That was point number 8. Ana lastu min Washington. I am not from Washington. Inni min New York. I am from New York. So here we have inna from lesson number 1 in connected to the first person singular pronoun ya al-mutakallim. So you can say inni Or you can say, innani. Those are two ways of using it for the first person, yani, with inna, the pronouns with inna. So the meaning here is, yani, inna plus ya al-mutakallam is the ism of inna. But it's a pronoun, so it's mabniyun, in the place where it should be, yani mansub, fi mahalli nasb. In the place where it should be mansub. Because why? Because ism inna. Remember we said in lesson 1 that the mubtada and the khabar become ism inna and khabaru inna. And ism inna is mansub. So the original sentence here before inna was used on it, inni min New Yorker, the original sentence without inna is ana min New Yorker. Ana min New York. I am from New York. Now when you use inna, ana changes to its mansub form, inni min New York. So ana is, in the original sentence, ana min New York, ana is the mubtada, min New York is jawal majrur shibh jumla khabar. After inna is introduced, ya al mutakallam becomes ism inna, and min New York becomes khabaru inna. In terms of the grammar of this type of expression, as we studied here in lesson 2 today. Bilal says, a muslimun abuka ya hishamu. A muslimun abuka, yani, is your father a Muslim, O Hisham? Again, it is permissible to reverse the mubtada and khabar as we have done here. Not necessary here, because the mubtada is not indefinite, but it is permissible as long as it doesn't make confusion in the meaning. So the original form of this sentence will be abuka muslimun. Your father is a Muslim. The question would be a abuka muslimun? A abuka muslimun? Because abu is the mubtada and muslimun is the khabar. But you can reverse the order, it's permissible as long as the meaning is not lost. So a muslimun abuka? Is your father a Muslim, O Hisham? Hisham answers, la, huwa laysa bi muslimin. Huwa laysa bi muslimin. And he is not a Muslim. By the way, in the previous lines, we had la ana lastu min Washington. So I just wanted to, I meant to note that lastu is the first form of the verb laysa that came in this dialogue. Yani the first person singular, lastu. Now we see the second one. Yani after the question, a muslimun abuka ya hishamun, he said, la huwa laysa bi muslimin. Meaning, no. He is not. Huwa laysa. He is not a Muslim. Huwa laysa bi muslimin. So this is the second form of laysa that came in this dialogue. Yani the third person masculine singular. Huwa laysa. For here would be what? As we'll see shortly. Here laysat. Anta lasta. Anti lasti. Nahnu lasna. Hunna lasna, with noon and niswa, and so on like this. Okay, so, huwa laysa bi muslimin. Also, we can note here, well, we'll leave it for later, inshallah. Bilal then says, wa ummuka a muslimatun hiya? Wa ummuka, and what about your mother? A muslimatun hiya? Is she a Muslim? Again, a muslimatun hiya? The mubtada and khabar are reversed, not because it's mandatory, because the mubtada here is not indefinite, it's definite, but it's permissible. Yani the original sentence would be, hiya muslimatun. The question would be, ahiya muslimatun. Here, the order of the mubtada is reversed, a muslimatun hiya. The original order, the natural order is, ahiya muslimatun. Is she a Muslim? Here we see that it's permissible to reverse the order, a muslimatun hiya. Hisham answers, hiya laysat bi muslimatin. Hiya laysat bi muslimatin. No, she is not a Muslima. And here, this is the third form of laysa that came in this dialogue. Yani the third person, feminine singular. Hiya laysat. Huwa laysa, hiya laysat. Just like a normal verb. Huwa yani hafidha. Hiya hafidhat. Huwa nazala. Hiya nazalat. Yani with ta, with sukun. That's the third person. Feminine sign of femininity on the third person. A singular feminine form of the verb, past tense verb. Bilal then says, Alaka abana'un ya Hishamu? Alaka abana'un ya Hishamu? Do you have sons, O Hisham? And again, we want to distinguish between alaka and indaka. Indaka is used for things, and laka for people. Alaka abana'un ya Hishamu? Do you have sons, O Hisham? Hisham says, Na'am, li sittatu abana'in. Yes, I have 6 sons. Here, we want to note yani a couple of things. The first thing, we're going to look at the number, sittatu abana'in. Remember the numbers from 3 to 10. Okay, this is just a refresher. For the numbers from 3 to 10, remember that the number comes first, and the thing being counted, the ma'adud, follows it as mudaf ilayhi majroor. It's going to be plural, and it's going to be mudaf ilayhi majroor. So we see the plural of ibn, abana, and we see that it's majroor with kasra. Sittatu abana'in. And also the adad and the ma'adud are opposite in gender. So we have sittatu, feminine number, feminine adad, with abana'in, yani masculine ma'adud. The next thing we want to mention is in reference to the grammar, li sittatu abana'in. Here we have li, which is the ja' al-majroor, the khabar muqaddam, followed by sittatu, which is the mubtada mu'akhar. Why is sittatu delayed here? Mandatory. It's mandatory because what? Because it's indefinite. It's indefinite. Sittatu abna'in. Remember, in the idafa construction, the mudaf becomes definite or indefinite depending on the mudaf ilayhi. And since the mudaf ilayhi abna'in is indefinite, so sittatu is indefinite. So as the mubtada being indefinite and its khabar being ja'ul majroor li, the order has to be reversed. So li is the khabar muqaddam, advanced khabar. And sittatu is the mubtada mu'akhar, delayed mubtada. Okay, going to the next page, 13, continuing with this dialogue. Just look at the time here. Okay, at the top of page 13, Bilal says, Atullabun hum, yani the original order is hum tullabun, they are students. The question would be, ahum tullabun, ahum tullabun, are they students? And this is permissible. It's not a mandatory reverse of the order. Tullabun is the khabar muqaddam, and hum is the mubtada mu'akhar. Are they students? And also we want to note, tullabun is a broken plural on the pattern of what? Tullabun. Yani on the pattern of fu'al, like hukam and tujjar and hujjaj. All of them on the pattern of fu'al. Okay, he says, are they students? Hisham says, la, hum laysu bitullabin. No, they are not students. Hum laysu bitullabin. This again, now this is the third form of laysa that came. This is the third person masculine plural form. Third person masculine plural. Hum laysu. That waw at the end is waw al-jama'a, just like in katabu, just as in hafidhu, just as in qara'u. Okay, that's waw al-jama'a. Hum laysu. So this is the form of laysa for third person masculine plural with waw al-jama'a. Laysu bitullabin. No, they are not students. Inna ba'dahum tujjarun wa ba'dahum muhandisuna. Yani they are not students. Indeed, ba'dahum, some of them are tujjar. Yani the plural of tajir on the pattern, same pattern, fu'al. Fu'al. Yani the first radical taking dhamma, second radical taking shadda with fatta elongated by alif. Tujjar. Some of them are merchants. وَبَعْضَهُمْ, and indeed some of them are مُهَنْدِسُونَ, engineers. Bilal says, أَلَكَ بَنَاتٌ, do you have daughters? Hisham says, and this is also another example, أَلَكَ بَنَاتٌ, this is an example of the مُبْتَدَى being delayed. بَنَاتٌ is the original مُبْتَدَى, and لَكَ is the شِبْ جُمْلَ, يعني advanced, يعني خبر مقدم. بناتٌ is مبتدا مؤخر. Why is it مؤخر? Because it's indefinite with تنوين. and its khabar is a shibah jumla. Laka. Hisham says, Na'am li khamsu banatin. Yes, li khamsu banatin. I have 5 daughters. And again, li is the shibah jumla. Khabar muqaddam, advanced khabar. And khamsu is the mubtada muakhir, delayed mubtada. Why is it delayed? Because it's indefinite and its khabar is a shibah jumla. It's indefinite. How do we know it's indefinite? Because it is mudaf. And the mudaf ilayhi, banatin, is indefinite. Therefore, khamsu is indefinite. As the mubtada being indefinite, it must be delayed. Mubtada muakhir. Yes, I have khamsu banatin. In reference to numbers, 3 to 10, the number is, the adad, khamsa, is opposite the ma'adud in gender. Masculine number, feminine, ma'adud. And also, yani, the ma'adud is going to be plural, jam, and mudafun ilayhi majroor. Bilal says, أَمُتَزَوِّجَاتٌ هُنَّ. Are they married? Yani, your 5 daughters, أَمُتَزَوِّجَاتٌ هُنَّ. Again, this is a reverse of order, but not mandatory, permissible. Yani the original sentence, hunna mutazawijat, they are married. Question would be, ahunna mutazawijat, but here we have the order reversed. Yani mutazawijat is the khabar muqaddam, and hunna is the mubtada muakhir, delayed. Amutazawijatun hunna, are they married? Hisham says, la, hunna lasna bimutazawijatin. He said what? La, hunna, third person feminine plural, hunna, they, lasna, with noon and niswa, bimutazawijatin. They are not, yani, married. So this is the 4th form of the verb laysa that we had so far in this text. It is the third person feminine plural, hunna, lasna, with noon and niswa. They are not married. Then he goes on to say, inna hunna sigarun, indeed, they are young. Yani here we have inna, and hunna, the pronoun is ism inna, but pronouns are mabniun, so we don't say it's mansub, we say it's ism inna, in the place where it should be mansub, fi mahalli nasb. And sigarun is khabaru inna, and the khabaru inna is always marfu'un. Ba'aduhunna fil madrasati al-ibtida'iyyati, wa ba'aduhunna fil madrasati al-mutawassitati. Yani they are small, they are young. Ba'aduhunna, some of them are in al-madrasa al-ibtida'iyya, yani in elementary school or primary school, ibtida'iyya, yani from bada, ibtida, yani ibtida'i. Ibtida'i means elementary or primary. Some of them are in primary or elementary school. Wa ba'aduhunna fil madrasati al-mutawassita. Mutawassita from tawassata, yani wasat means middle, yani the middle. Al-madrasa al-mutawassita, yani the middle school or junior high school. Bilal says, alaka ikhwatun, do you have brothers? The same thing here, ikhwatun is the mubtada muakhir, delayed mubtada, because it's indefinite and its khabar is a shibah jumla, laka. Alaka ikhwatun, Hisham says, la, laysa li ikhwatun, no, I do not have brothers. Li is the khabar of laysa. And the khabar of laysa is supposed to be mansub. But here, yani, it's a ja'a wal majroor, so we say it's in the place where it should be mansub. Fi mahalli nasb. And ikhwatun is ism laysa. And ism laysa is always marfu'un. Yani ikhwatun here is ism laysa because it is originally the mubtada. Mubtada muakhir. So because it is indefinite, it is delayed, and therefore it is still the ism of laysa, because the mubtada is, yani it becomes ism laysa, and that is marfu'un. Inna li thalatha akhawatin. Laysa li ikhwatun. I don't have any brothers. Inna li thalatha akhawatin. Indeed, I have 3 sisters. Indeed, I have 3 sisters. Here, the original sentence without inna is li thalatha akhawatin. I have 3 sisters. Li, the shibah jumla, is never the mubtada. So we know that's the khabar that has been advanced, muqaddam. And therefore, thalatha is the khabar, is the mubtada that has been delayed, muakhir. Thalatha is the mubtada that has been delayed. So the mubtada is going to be the ism inna. So here thalatha is ism inna. And ism inna is always mansoob. Ism inna is mansoob, as we learned in lesson 1. Therefore we have thalatha. Yani the number thalatha as ism inna is mansoob with fatha. And akhawatin is the mudaf ilayhi. Yani the ma'adud for the numbers from 3 to 10 is always going to be plural, jam, and mudaf ilayhi majrur. Thalatha akhawatin. And also the adad and the ma'adud from 3 to 10 are going to be opposite in gender. Thalatha is a masculine adad, and akhawat is a feminine ma'adud. So in this case, inna li thalatha akhawatin, yani thalatha is the ism inna mansoob. As opposed to in the sentence before that, laysa, yani la laysa li ikhwatun, yani ikhwatun is ism laysa marfu'un. Yani ism laysa is marfu'un, ism inna is mansoob. So we see here that ikhwatun is the ism laysa, and thalatha is the ism inna, but their rulings are opposite. Ism laysa is marfu'un, and ism inna is mansoob. Bilal says, أَمُسْلِمَاتٌ هُنَّ, yani are they female Muslims? Are they Muslimat? أَمُسْلِمَاتٌ هُنَّ, again the مُبْتَدَى and خَبَر is reversed here. أَهُنَّ مُسْلِمَاتٌ is the original order. It's permissible, as long as there's no confusion about the meaning. Are they Muslim women? Hisham says, نعم, هُنَّ مُسْلِمَاتٌ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Yes, they are Muslimat, Muslim women, walhamdulillah, and the praise belongs to Allah, yani that they are Muslims. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to cover concerning this lesson 2. Again, lesson 2 primarily is focused upon Laysa. As we close, I just want to remind us, yani in terms of Laysa that we have mentioned, don't forget the conjugation of Laysa in exercise number 3. Please review it and memorize those forms. Keep in mind that those forms are the same forms that normal verbs end with. Yani the pronoun that's attached to the end of laysa is the same pronoun that's attached to other verbs. Okay, but what I want to review with laysa, I said there are 10 points that you need to know. Number 1, you need to know that laysa, its meaning is what? Is not. Number 2, that laysa is only used with a, what type of sentence? Jumla ismiya, nominal sentence. Number 3, that when B, the preposition B is used with the khabar of laysa, which originally the khabar of laysa should be mansoob, but if B is used with it, it makes the khabar majroor. The fourth point is that when laysa is used with the jumla ismiya, the mubtada and khabar become known as ism laysa and khabaru laysa. The ism laysa is going to be marfoon and khabaru laysa is mansoob. Number 5, the feminine form of laysa is laysat, like kataba, katabat. And if laysat, because it ends with sukoon, is followed by hamzatul wasl, or alif lam, or any word that begins with hamzatul wasl, then you're going to have iltiqa sakinain, two sakin letters coming together. You got to remove it with kasra here. In this case, you remove it with kasra. And that actually is the sixth point, that the sukoon of laysa, yani is, when it's followed by alif lam, is removed by kasra. The seventh point is that in the sentence like lastu bi muhandisin, lastu bi mudarrisin, yani lastu here, the ism of laysa is the pronoun to. The ism of laysa is the pronoun to. Point number 8, we can also express the same meaning. Lastu bi muhandisin, I am not a muhandis, by saying ana lastu bi muhandisin. Ana and less and two and lastu, they both represent first person singular. Ana, less to. The difference here is that now when you use ana, it becomes a jumla ismiya. Ana is the mubtada, the rest of the sentence. Laysa and its ism and its khabar, less to be muhandisin, all of that is the khabar. Point number 9 is that when you have a khabar of laysa that's a shibba jumla, as in less to min al hindi, you can't use the preposition be with it. And the last point is if the mubtada is indefinite and its khabar is a prepositional phrase or clause, then mubtada is going to be delayed. Mubtada mu'akhar. You have to pay attention to that. The ism of laysa, even if it's delayed, the ism of laysa is marfu'un, but with inna, the ism of inna is going to be mansoob. So you have to pay attention when the mubtada and khabar or delayed out of their place. This is what we can mention for today. I hope, inshallah, that most of it is understood and comprehended, and that if you are doing the homework every day, doing a little bit of this, doing a little bit of reading concerning each lesson, then inshallah, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, you'll find that it won't be that difficult. It won't be overwhelming. And I hope, inshallah, that this preview of lesson 2, yani, will indeed, by the permission of Allah, everything is in accordance with the will of Allah. And therefore we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to support us and to aid us and to grant ease to us, because there's nothing easy except what Allah made easy. And Allah makes difficult things easy if He wills. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yani, that there's nothing easy. لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا. And whatever is difficult, you make it easy if you will. وَأَنْتَ تَجْعَلُ الْحَزْنَ إِذَا شِتَّ سَهْلًا. So we ask Allah to grant us ease and to support and aid us in our studies of the Arabic language, so that we may read His book, Al-Quran, and study His deen from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the books of the scholars. May Allah have mercy upon all of them and protect and preserve those that are with us still today. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we close, and He to grant to each of us ease in our studies, in our worship, and in our da'wah, in our relations with others, and that He subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the success to do the deeds that are pleasing to Him, yani in a manner, yani sincerely for His sake alone, in a manner that is in accordance with the sunnah, and that He recognize, record, and reward our deeds, that He forgive us our shortcomings, raise our stations in this world and the next life, and that He grant us to be, yani, al-thabat, steadfast and firm upon a sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition of being pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Ameen.